What's up, guys? We're back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And Henry, you see me out here. You see me. You see me.
I saw, man. Congratulations, man. 2024 Panthers World Champ.
Rawr, 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 rawr. Yeah, that's my Panther call right there.
A Shot of Lime production.
You seen it? Spot on.
I know you and Georges St-Pierre, I know you guys never fought, but you do have a win over GSP. I saw that video.
All right, Kamaru. Stanley Cup Final, it's Game 7, and I'm ready to bet you that my Edmonton Oilers will beat your Florida Panthers. If I win, you have to do me 30 uncalled push-up wearing my Edmonton Oilers jersey. And if I lose, I'll do the same for you. What do you say?
Well, George, you know what I say? I think you're going to look real good in our blue, red, and tan jersey, George. Yes, and I'll be seeing your little workout videos. So I hope you're in shape to drop and give me 30 whenever I tell you to. All right, George? Yeah, I accept. Let's do it.
Hey, guess what? You brought a home to the United States of America. Take that, GSP.
Hey, you know what? Hey, why am I over here claiming the Panthers win like I just fought for a world title and won again?
Hey, that's sick, though, bro.
George thought it was going to be just because the Oilers came in strong and they won three games. But he forgot we was up 3-0. You know, he tried to act like, oh, yeah, Canada, we're going to take this Stanley Cup back. And I'm like, George, relax. We're going to get this done in Game 7, and especially playing here in Florida. And you know what? I was going to the game, you know, going with my lady to the game, and I was thinking about it in the car. I'm like, yo, yeah, I know we don't go to a lot of hockey games, and we just recently became really, really big into hockey fans. I'm like, do we realize how special this is?
Yeah.
We are going to Game 7 at home of the Stanley Cup Finals. That's the NBA championship, Game 7, at home in your home state. How special that is. And man, we went out there and Florida did it.
Yeah, no, I saw, bro. I'm looking at the pictures now, bro. You saw Stephen A. Smith. We got to get him on the pod. And we also, yeah, you know, and I also saw you, you know, with Charles Barkley, dude. That's so cool,
Sir Charles.
Dude.
And how crazy, like, we're in the Panther Bar. There was just so many different celebrities, different players, different people in there. It's like, you know, I've seen Dan Marino at a game, as you saw. I've seen Alex Rodriguez has been at a game. It's like, it's so many different people. But, hey, man, we champions. And you know you gotta do the champion walk when you get there. You gotta.
I see that, bro. Look at you.
You see how you walk? That's how you walk when the Panthers win the cup and bring it home. So, GSP, get ready to do those push-ups. I've been seeing your workout videos. Get ready to do those push-ups in the Panthers jersey.
I thought you were gonna say GSP. Get ready to bend the knee.
Nah. Pause, Henry. You got to give me a pause moment every podcast, at least once.
or maybe, Kamaru, maybe I still want to see the fight, bro. Maybe that's what it is, man. So,
but GSP is my dog now.
Oh, he's a good dude,
GSP,
man.
Is my dog now. But yes, Henry. Yeah, we did it. Hopefully, they invite me to. I wanted to go into the locker room and party with the guys and you know, pop their champagne, but it is what it is. You know, I'm still happy. Florida Panthers, 2024 Stanley Cup champions.
Heck yeah, man.
Now, Henry, let's get into why we're here. You know why we're here, Henry. You know why we're here. UFC 303 happening this weekend in Las Vegas. It's also International Fight Week. You know, this is a big, big weekend for the UFC because lots of events and lots of things to do in Las Vegas. As fans, fans really get to indulge in everything UFC with all the fights. But yes, this card is a spectacular card, as you know. It was a lot of changes, a lot of moving parts in and out. But nonetheless, still a fantastic card. A lot of amazing fights, but in the early prelim, there's a couple of fights that are really, really good. Obviously, the first one, Ricky Simon is fighting, so that's supposed to be a banging fight. You got the return of Michelle Waterson. That's another banging fight. She's always a fun fight to watch. But Henry, what fight do you really have your eye on that? And what fighter do you have your eye on that prelims?
Well, you know what, dude? I'm going to have to go with Peyton Tabbett, man. He's 5'10". I mean, he's undefeated. He's been a wreck, man. He's mentally a strong kid. He's been finishing people in the UFC. He's come out to AZ working with me for a few days. I mean, the dude's got crazy talent, man. The dude is he's a prospect, dude. He's definitely like a high profile prospect that's kind of going under the radar, man. Really good striking. Has takedowns, has submissions. We're talking about a guy that's well-rounded, but yet is still growing. And I think there's a reason why the UFC is putting him on this card. Obviously, he's going up against Giannis. I'm not going to pronounce his damn name because I'm not – is he French or whatever the heck he is? But whatever that may be, I think there's something about Peyton, dude, that he's bringing that's kind of like he has all these bantamweights, including myself. He's got us on our toes, man, because the dude's got talent, man. I believe he has – Two official fights in the UFC, and he's just been rocking and rolling. So
really, so he's what? He's 5-0 or 6-0?
No, he is 8-0. So, but I believe he does have an extent on his amateur background. But that being said, this guy's a threat for any of us in the top 10. I mean, the dude's gonna come up and the dude's gonna make a statement.
Okay. Yeah, so Peyton is definitely a guy to watch out for. Another Dana White Contender Series alum. But for me, man, you look at that, man, look at that prelim. You got freaking Andre Touchy Feely taking on Cub Swanson. I think that's a fun fight for all fight fans. I mean, two household names, two guys that's been around for quite some time. I think this is Sean Shelby, I think you did a fantastic job here with this matchup because this is a fun fight for everyone. And both guys that I feel like, Henry, I feel like kind of are in the same, a similar situation. They're taking on fun fights now. You know, they're not the young and up-and-coming guy to where they're like, okay, I'm chasing something. I'm trying to get to a title or defend a title. You know, these are guys that are going to go out there that are going to give you a fantastic fight. And, yeah, I can't wait to see that fight. I love it.
Yeah, I like it. Joe Pyfer's also fighting too. I mean, obviously, you know, the UFC was hot on him for a minute. I mean, he's going up against Marc-Andre Vera.
Don't say they're hot on him for a minute. The UFC is high on this guy because he showed a lot of promise, you know. But in his last fight, he got kind of taught a lesson a little bit. He got taught a lesson when you fight a veteran. You're not just going to go in with a veteran and just start him in the first round. You got to take your time and really put on a complete masterful performance. And he learned that lesson. Hopefully he learned that lesson. Because here again, the UFC are giving him a guy similar in Marc-Andre. Marc-Andre, a guy that trains down here at Killcliffe FC with Henry Hoof and these guys. And that's the one thing about Marc-Andre you see with him is he's a durable guy. That if you keep him around round two and three, he potentially will make you pay for that. And so this is another fight for Joe Pfeiffer to be able to potentially show them if he's learned that lesson in that last fight. So I agree with you, Henry. This is a banging fight, real banging fight.
Yeah, for sure. But well, let's get up. Let's move on over to the main card. I think the fight that a lot of people are kind of, you know, I like this fight. I love the fact that the UFC is putting Ian Gary Machado versus Michael Venom Page, you know, the beginning of the pay-per-view. I mean, 6-3 to 6-3, you know, these guys are, you know, if there's one thing that's one of the person that has the edge, it's really Ian Gary, man, who has the experience 100%. It is Michael Venom Page, but I mean, Ian Gary has proven, bro, and he's getting better, bro. There's one thing when I look at this fight and I see this fight that what is it that Ian Gary could do is he's going to have to kick this dude's legs. You know, Michael Venom Page's distance is really good, but at the same time, his distance is good, but his stance is super wide. And I think that's where Ian is going to have to really bring in those double fakes, cover distance correctly to be able to chop the foundation and to be able to hurt him. Because if you don't, if you just try to go hands with Michael Venom Page, with according to that his the mobility and the distance recognition that he has, he's going to do the same thing, two punches max, what he likes to do, kind of similar to what he did to in his last fight. He's going to go at a counter. He's going to taunt you. He's going to do X, Y, and Z to eventually anticipate you and bring those hands in. So for that reason, Kamaru, I do believe Ian Garry's going to maybe chop the leg and possibly bring some of that grappling, some of that wrestling. There's an IQ to him, and he's a smart kid, and he's 26 years young. So for that reason, I am favoring Ian Machado Garry.
Man, I love this sport. I really love this sport, and a big part of that is because it's this is the closest you're going to get to actual like fight. And the reason I say that is because even today, training and working out, you learn so much lessons about this sport. You know, you think you're a great boxer and, you know, you're a great kickboxer or whatnot. But then you get into an MMA fight and someone just grabs your leg once or twice. And then you just like, it's like, oh, I can't just do that anymore. Or I just want to box. I just can't do that anymore. That's one thing that I love about this type of fight, because Michael Venom Page, it's not like, oh man, a nice boxer that's going to make you look silly, move and do all this type of stuff, put a combination on you, a 6-7 punch combination. No, it's not necessarily that. It's just this guy understands how to actually fight as far as being able to dart in and dart out. With not even orthodox strikes, not even straight, nice straight right hand, left hook, not even that. He can jump right in, want to, bam, bam, step out, throw his hands down, do this little thing, and then sting you with the left hand. And the same with Ian Garry. You know, both of these guys, I think, are very, very good at controlling distance. Both of them are very good at that. But I just think it's very difficult with Michael Venom Page. If he's able to have his way, it's very difficult to find a guy to replicate that type of style. You think the leg is there to kick it, but the reason he has a wide stance is so he can lunge in and out. And what happens when you think, oh yeah, you train the whole camp, I'm going to kick his leg. And then you get in there, you try to kick his leg and he's out, he's away from it. You're like, oh crap, that doesn't work. So you have to adjust mentally. So that's what I think is so intriguing about this fight. I think both guys are good competitors. Both guys, I think, are good at controlling distance. Obviously, if you let Ian Garry start finding the target, it's going to be a problem for anyone. But if you let Michael Venom Page do one of those funky stuff where he jumps up and knees you in the face, or he does a triple reverse 720 back spin kick to the face, I mean, it becomes problematic. So this is a fight that, man, it's so crazy and contested that where I personally think it might not be as exciting as advertised. But I can't wait to see it anyways. I love it. Both guys.
Yeah, I saw it. You see that, man, on Stylebender? Apparently, your boy, man, your other Nigerian brother, you know, he was on, it looks like Michael Venom Page was on, Freestyle Bender on YouTube. And it looks like, you know, they're trying to match you
believes
up.
Believes a win over Ian Garry would be enough to earn him a welterweight title shot. Well, no, I mean, listen, I didn't see it, but I mean, based on this, I'm not he's not wrong. He's not wrong 100%. If he's able to get past Ian Garry and he's able to fight me and scrape out a win, I mean, 100%, you can say, yes, I'm next for the title shot. 100%. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with him saying, yes, you know, that guy's ranked number one in the world. If I can beat him, you know, of course, I should fight for the title next. It's nothing wrong with him being ambitious.
You know what, Kamaru? I like this matchup for him because he's a lot like Wonderboy. I know we talked about it before.
He's a lot like it, but he's dynamic. He's different. He's dynamic and he's different. And obviously, that's a puzzle. He's a tricky puzzle that you have to solve. A couple of guys have solved it. So if those guys solved it, you know, why can't I? So, you know, it's one of those things. But I see nothing wrong with what he says. He wants to challenge himself and he wants to fight for the title. And that's what everyone should aspire to do. You want to be champion of the world. So, you know, yeah, you know, more power to him. I think he's absolutely right. If he's able to get wins over those two guys, who can deny him a title shot? But all I have to say is it's easier said than done. That's it. Well, yeah, I like it. I think he's He's right. I think he has a great fight, you know, focus and, you know, he'll potentially get through this fight and then he can look at what's next for him. But moving on, we got Macy Chison taking on Maria. It's Mayra Bueno Silva. And Mayra Bueno Silva was a title challenger. She fought for the title last time, right? Against Raquel Pennington, I believe. And it was a good fight, you know, round one and two until, you know, it just seems like she hit a wall. It seemed like maybe that five round, she just, it was like maybe that five round fight was just like, we didn't anticipate it going five rounds. It looked like, because after round three, it was just like she hit a wall and she just couldn't respond to what was going on. And Raquel Pennington, you know, overcame that and ended up becoming the champion.
Yeah, and she might be more of a three-round fighter. Her striking is good, man. She's very witty with her submissions. I mean, she was able to tap out Holly Holmes. She was able to do a lot of good things with a lot of great fighters. So I'm favoring more likely Mayra Bueno Silva just based on the fact that she's already fought for a championship as well. I mean, there's one thing is she's probably going to have to work on that five-round threshold. But for three rounds, I think I put her up against anybody in the world.
I agree. But Macy Chason has done some really, really good things. You know, this young lady training out of Fortis. I'm not sure if she's still down there in Fortis, down in Dallas with Saif. But, you know, she's definitely done a lot of things. She's an Ultimate Fighter winner. Let's not forget that. And has actually done some really good things in the UFC. Has had a couple of downs, but, you know, definitely she's back in the win column. And, hey, she has the skills to be able. This is a really good fight, I think. This is a closely contested fight. This is going to let you know if Macy Chason is in that upper echelon to be able to challenge for the title. And Maria Bueno Silva, this is a turnaround fight for her to really show that she's, you know, she's turned things around. And she could potentially fight for that title again.
Wow!
I like the fight.
Did you see? Your boy Anthony Smith, Lionheart's back in there again, back at it.
Lionheart's back in there. Hey, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And I think this is a phenomenal fight for him too. This is a good fight for him. Roman Dolidze, don't get me wrong. Roman is a killer. I don't know what in that last fight. It almost like he looked like he hit a wall. To where the adrenaline had just kind of just took it all out of him. And to where, you know, Imavov just kind of started having his way towards the end of it. But Roman is a scary guy. Roman likes to grapple. He's a jiu-jitsu master. So is Anthony Smith. And so I think this is where they kind of cancel each other out here. But it's going to have to be, is Anthony Smith going to use that veteran savviness to be able to overcome this? Because you saw what he did in that last fight. He was able to slide in there and show that young buck, hey, it's not your time yet. Is he going to be able to do that again this time? So this is, I think, is a phenomenal fight for Anthony Smith. But it is a dangerous one because if Roman Dolidze shows up that we knew a few fights ago, it's very, very challenging for anybody.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
I like it. I think, as you said, Anthony Smith has experience. He's gone up against guys like John Jones. He's gone up against some of the best vets at his weight division. And yeah, he's been stopped. He's lost. But I think the wittiness and his experience could really, you know, do a number on Roman Dolidze. But what I'm excited about is the co-main event, Kamaruddin. Am I saying that right, Kamaruddin?
Bruh, you don't even know my name?
Jeez! Brian Ortega versus Diego Lopez. I mean, this is another hitter that came about. Obviously, Brian Ortega, the new spiritually found himself through, you know, through the Christian faith. He does seem different. He's planning on donating 100. I don't know if you saw that. He's planning on donating 100 grand to one of his churches. So this is the same reason why he wants to fight. You know, he's got great boxing. He's a vet of the game. He's fought Volkanovski. He's fought Yair Rodriguez. He's fought a lot of the best guys at the featherweight division, but he's also going up against Diego Lopez, a guy that's, you know, there's hype around Diego Lopez, you know, a guy that's, you know, has
rightfully so.
He has heavy hands. He's got very, very heavy hands, and he's got slick jiu-jitsu. And dude, he's got 30 fights in mixed martial arts. Yeah, fairly new to MMA, but this dude's a vet, man. This is like you're bringing somebody in that has, you know, when you have 30 fights, you know, in Brazil and fighting from in Mexico as well. I mean, the dude is out there, and I think if he could potentially beat a guy like Brian Ortega, he could be one win away from actually fighting for the belt. And that's crazy to say, Kamaru.
It is. And I think that's what's so spectacular about this. I feel like they're kind of similar guys at just different times. You know, I feel like Diego Lopez has the jiu-jitsu savviness of Brian Ortega. Of course, Brian is a guillotine wizard. If he even smells your neck, you know, he just latches onto that thing and pause, and he latches onto it and potentially gets you out of there. But Diego Lopez, I feel like it's just, you know, there's a little bit more savviness in that striking, because when Diego Lopez throws, he throws to get you out of there, to put your head in the next row. You know, it's just the way that they land. It's not so much that he's over swinging. It's just the way that those shots land, and they really hurt you. When you can go in there and you can take out a guy like Sadiq Youssef with strikes like that, it shows just how powerful he is. As opposed to a guy like Brian Ortega, who's going to set you up with strike and land a slick elbow that'll potentially cut you up or get you out of there. So I really, really love this fight. This is a chance for Diego Lopez right here. You know, he's been doing great things. And it's really, that's the thing, is UFC will feed the beast. If you are showing them that, hey, I'm disposing of what you're giving me, they'll feed you. They'll keep feeding you. They'll give you a guy that's a level tougher, or another guy that's a level tougher or a level tougher. If he's able to get through a guy like Brian Ortega, 100%, I think he's on a short list for that title shot. But with that being said, I actually, Henry, on the way here after training today, I actually saw a video of Brian Ortega, to where he's talking about how this came about. He was talking about obviously putting tape in his mouth on his mouth because that calms him down.
That sounds kinky, Kamara.
Pause. Henry, no, it's not like that. He says keeps him. Wow. He says it's because it calms him down because he's having too much fun. I would guess it's something to do with his breathing. It keeps him centered and keeps him controlled. But towards the end of the video, he talks about how the fight came about. And he said one night he was restless in the hotel, in the fighter hotel, and he's walking around and he runs into Hunter and Dana. And Hunter asked him, Hunter said, "Hey, you look good." And he said, "I thought it was a compliment." And then the next day, I got a text, "Hey, you want to fight?" I thought it was so funny. I was like, the old Hunter Campbell trick. "Yeah, you look good." And you're like, yeah, I do look good. Yeah, thank you. And the next day, "Hey, you're fighting." I thought it was so funny. Shout out to Hunter Campbell, just a mad genius.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but I think this is the fight, Kamaru, that's really, 100%. To me, it's going to be the most competitive fight out of all of them, because they both have similar styles and they both have good ground game. I mean, I think the slickness of Brian Ortega with the hands and the power that Diego Lopez has. But I will say this about Brian: he gets stick a lot, man. He gets hit a lot. When Yair Rodriguez hit him, bro, hit him with straight punches and things like that. And I will say this about Diego: if Diego does tend to take him out, I think he takes him out by stoppage. But looking at this fight as a whole, who is the vet, like who has a little bit more of that edge? And I want to say that it's ironic that Diego Lopez is actually the favorite here. Does that surprise you, Kamaru?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because he's a young, hungry lion. He's the young guy that's disposing of all these guys. So, no, 100%, it doesn't surprise me that he's a favorite. But they both have experience. Diego Lopez, if he doesn't, I think – I wouldn't be surprised if he has more fights than Brian Ortega, which he does. He has more fights than Brian Ortega. So he is a vet inside of that competition, inside that cage. But the longevity of time that Brian Ortega has been putting in, and the longevity of him being in the UFC and with all that experience of being in big fights, he's fighting for the title, I think, what, two times now he's fought for the title? You know, fighting former champions. I think that goes to Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega is I think this is a fantastic fight, honestly. I can't say anything else about it. It is just a fantastic fight, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, let's move on. The main event, Jiří Procházka, my brother, versus Alex Pereira. When I'm looking at this fight, Kamaru, the person that's going to have to make these adjustments is going to be Jiří Procházka. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like just because of that crazy elbow, like, you cannot hold on. He won round one. Round two, he got finished, but it was a crazy mistake that he did of holding on to the leg a little too much. You cannot put yourself in danger of being able to catch those hands or those elbows of a guy like Alex Pereira. So he's going to have to be a lot smarter than he was before. And I will say this about Jiří. There's a gift that he has, and it's the ability to be able to take pain. Dude, he was getting leg kicked left and right from Rochick, his last fight. And, dude, he stayed composed. He was losing that fight prior to him actually finishing, but he cannot put himself in these positions. This position right now where he's getting choked, it's okay because there's an endurance to him. There's a mindset that he has. But being in a position too long, holding on to a single leg, and having Alex Pereira use the power of his limbs, whether it's hands, elbows, knees, or kicks, you have to stay away from that. But I do feel like the rhythm that Jiří has, and he's going to go in there and actually fight. He's going to have to fight a guy like Alex Pereira, especially last minute notice. I tell you what, Alex Pereira likes to travel a lot. He likes that good life. I see about every single event saying, Shama. But a guy like Jiří Procházka, man, he's a true mixed martial artist. He doesn't like fame. He likes to isolate himself. He just thinks about eating, sleeping, and training. And I think that's going to make it problematic. But he cannot be in these positions of going blow for blow with a guy that has crazy power, and particularly in the first two rounds.
Listen, all that is good. All that is fine and dandy. Obviously, I know which side you were going to be on, and you were going to say all this about this guy.
Shama!
But, Henry, I completely, because it took time. I actually had to go back and watch that fight again. And Jiří Procházka is the favorite here. He's the favorite to me. He's the favorite going into this fight. Yeah, he lost the last fight, but he's the favorite. It's one thing that I see, and that's it, it's a good thing that, you know, we talked a little bit about how every time now you see videos of Alex Pereira sparring this guy, beating up this guy in the gym or this guy and this guy. It's a good thing that he's sparring, that he's just still staying in the gym, even though he is traveling a lot, which I do know this definitely does overall hurt you, you know, when you are the champion. Because on your road to become champion, all you have to do is stay home and train. No one is really requesting for you that much to, hey, fly here and do an appearance here, do an appearance there, come here in this nice car, go eat in this nice restaurant, or do this or do that. You're not worried about all that. All you're doing is training, you know. But when you become champion, you start doing all these things and getting all these opportunities, which is great. That's what we dream of. But it takes you away from that training session and those extra time that you spend thinking about how to become champion. But with that being said, Alex Pereira, him still continuing to train and spar and beat up all these guys, it's great. But in that, if we have to look into that last fight that they had, Jiří Procházka really textbook was showing. I mean, obviously Israel Adesanya showed kind of like, you know, how the blueprint on how to get that job done.
No, not really. Well, he caught him. He had to go for broke, but go ahead.
Hey, let's not say that. He got the L. He got the W. So that's the important thing. Let's not say that.
And then doesn't want to fight him. No. Come on, Kamaru.
Because he doesn't have to, you know. Oh, but Jiří Procházka, Jiří Procházka was putting on kind of a masterclass to where he was. Alex Pereira is one of the most dangerous guys. If he's able to come forward, slip and punch and counter, come forward with his hands semi down, slip and counter, punch, slip and counter. Alex Pereira is one of the most dangerous guys when he's able to do that. But when he has to go backwards, when you have to push him backwards, like Yuri Prochazka was doing to him and landed multiple strike, that fight looked like it looked like Yuri was going to get the job done early in that fight. But he did shoot and he got multiple takedowns and he knew what he was doing. He got to the single leg, he elevated it, he sweeped it out and he got him down. Yuri Prochazka looked like the more complete mixed martial artist for sure. And Alex Pereira, it just, I mean, when you got crazy power like that, nobody can come at you kind of reckless like that because you catch him slipping, it's game over. And Alex Pereira landed that patent left hook and it hurt Yuri. Yuri shot in and Alex finished him off with those elbows. So Yuri, yes, I agree with you, Henry. If he makes that minor adjustment, I think he's the favorite in this fight. And God darn it, I can't wait to watch this one again. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, of course, 100%. I think the more that Yuri could mix it with the wrestling too, because Yuri don't care, man. Like it's not even about winning for him. For Yuri, it's about him performing to the best of his ability. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I respect, because there's not too many people like that. Like, I am here to perform. I am here to demonstrate it to myself before I demonstrate it to others. And I respect that on Yuri. And I agree with you, Kamaru. He's in my eyes, because it's a short notice fight, Yuri Prochazka is favored to win this fight in my eyes.
I like it. I like it. And yeah, Henry, I mean, if that's the things that motivate him to fight, by him just isolating and doing all that, that's great. You know, but for me, if that's what he cares about, that's great. For me, I care about the win. Don't get it twisted. I came here to win. So I'm going to do what it takes to win. So if that's me performing to the best of my abilities, I'm winning. If I ain't perform that good, I still won. That's what I care about, is winning. But, you know, with that being said, that's our main event, UFC 303, live in Las Vegas, Nevada, International Fight Weekend. It's still a big weekend. It's still a big card. It's going to be another phenomenal fight. And holy crap, what if Alex Pereira can get it done? Holy crap. I think he becomes one of the biggest stars in the UFC. He is right now, to be honest. You know, but I think he gets up there. But it's a stacked card coming up this Saturday. And, you know, that only means one thing. You know, we got to head to the, you know, the best place. The best place to play fantasy sports, Underdog Fantasy. Henry, my man, let me know what you got. What you got up for this weekend, huh?
That's right, dude. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower as fighter stats like significant strikes and knockouts. And for UFC 303 or 303, as Kamaru likes to say it, all you use will get a Pereira special. Pereira only needs one strike for you to win.
That's two pick'em specials and the first deposit bonus of up to $250 when you sign up with our code. That is P4P, pound for pound. Now, here are our picks for the UFC 303 live from T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. There's been a lot of talk around 303. And I'm sure that these matchups are going to live up to the hype. Don't miss out, guys. UFC 303.
Underdog has one of the biggest offerings in MMA game. You can win up to 250 times your money. That's right. I said it. 250 times your money. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida.
Support the show and click the link down below in the description. Thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for always supporting the show. All right, guys. And in other news, I mean, we hate to even go down that path, because you know we not down for the gossip. But, you know, this is just, it's kind of disappointing. You know, Armin Sarukian has been suspended 9 months and fined $25,000 for throwing a punch at a fan during his walkout at UFC 300. His suspension can be reduced to 6 months if he produces a video for anti-bullying campaign. I mean, Henry.
Yeah, that's fucking Henry. That's crazy, dude. I don't like it. You know why I don't like it, Kamaru? Is like, what about the fan? Why are you telling that to do when this dude's getting ready to go to battle and pushing on him? Like, dude, why don't you find his ass 25,000 too? I think it's a scam for the Nevada State Athletic Commission. I think if anything, the fans should probably come at him. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, the Nevada State Athletic Commission should probably have armed guards all along to the side, but you can't find somebody that's emotionally getting ready to fight, and then you're fining them $25. You say, hey, if you want to do this anti-bullying for 6 months, maybe, you know, we'll reduce your sentence. It seems unfair, Kamaru. I mean, we are professionals, but, dude, we're all humans too. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, but before I speak on it, what I would like to see, I would like to know what happened. You know, I don't know what happened. I don't remember seeing that because I did watch UFC 300. And,
well, pull it up and let's watch it.
And I would love to see the video of what happened because I can't even imagine when you're in a state like, I mean, I do, I can actually, when you're walking and, okay, so we see, okay, go back. We see the aftermath of it.
Yeah, Can we go back? I don't think they got that part. Okay. But I kind of like it, bro. He's a hothead, dude. That's good. That's good to be a fighter.
Yeah, which is very surprising because, you know, he seems like he's such a nice kid to me. He seems like, you know, I didn't realize he was, you know, he was about that life like this. Man, this is not the first time I've actually seen something with him because I saw him pull up on Bobby Green. And you saw that? He pulled up on Bobby Green at the Fighters Hotel one time and I think swung on him or tried to. He got in his face and he was about that action right away. Obviously, you know, both guys held their own, but you know, he was about that action. Yeah. So it's kind of surprising because Armas Sarukyan is such a clean cut, nice kid, and every time I see him, he's always really, really nice guy, which I like him a lot. You know, but I didn't realize, you know, he bought that action like that too. He bought that life.
Yeah.
So by me not understanding what happened, it's kind of tough for me to kind of sway one way in whatever happens here. But what I do want to know is, okay, you're finding him $25,000. Where's this money going? Is that fan getting the $25,000? Second of all, what happens to that fan? Because the fan must have done something for a fighter to swing at him.
He yanked
on the walk.
Yeah, he yanked him. He yanked him as he was walking. Like, do you imagine, dude, somebody throwing you off? Like, isn't it piss you off? Because you're getting ready to fight somebody, and this other dude is like, I think it's crazy. I don't think he should be fined. I think, if anything, the fans should be fined as well, or the family needs to take it on his own. But I don't think the Nevada State Athletic Commission should. I mean, this dude's defending himself. But it is what it is, man.
I agree. But it's there should be a fine line because, you know, that ticket that you bought to an event does not give you the right or permission to put your hand on an entertainer, you know, which he is. He's a professional entertainer. That does not give you the right to put your hands on him, to grab him, pull him in any way. Because I know a lot of fans feel like because we are fighters, that it's okay for them to just be rough or do whatever that they want to do with us. But that's not the case. You cannot do that. There are some fighters that are about that life. Not every fighter is going to be as nice as Henry Cejudo or myself, to where they just kind of maybe laugh it off. Or you catch us on a bad day, we might show you we about that life too. So, you know, you catch us on a, that's what I'm saying, you catch us on a bad day, we're going to show you we about that life too. But, nah,
Kamaru's,
you know,
a sweetheart. Kamaru's a sweetheart, ladies and gentlemen. You can't
do that. I am a sweetheart until I'm not, you know.
Until the nightmare comes out.
You don't want to see that. Exactly. You don't want to see that side.
Kobe but at Covington the end of the day, saw that side.
At the end of the day, you know, that's wrong. That fan, it has to be an example made of that fan to let the fans know that, hey, just because you bought a ticket, that doesn't give you the right to be able to engage in activities like this or do something like this. But at the same time, Armin Sarukyan, you shouldn't be fined for 9 months because now that throws you off. Islam said he wants to turn around very quickly and fight. Now that throws you off of that. You can't fight Islam now. Like, how did, look at this. See, this is the implications now. As fighters, you got to think about what you're going to do before you do them because now you're out of your title fight. Well, and that, let's say that goes to someone else. Boom, let's say.
Well, he doesn't have to fight in Nevada. That's all it is.
But if you're suspended throughout the commissions, all the commissions work together. All commissions work together. It's like saying you have a warrant in this state. Well, you go to another state. No, if you have a warrant in this state and they want you and the state wants you.
Uncle Mike wasn't able to fight in Las Vegas. This is why he was able to fight in Atlantic City. So that's not true. Kamaruddin.
No. Okay. But whatever that is. But they can decide that if you have a warrant in this state can say, hey, we have a warrant for his arrest. He's done something here. Can you please not grant him this or not do this for them there? And then obviously you have the right to make a decision and say, yeah, we're going to do it anyways. Or you can say, nah, we're not going to do it because he has a warrant in that state or he's suspended in that state. So listen, at the end of the day, hopefully this doesn't necessarily throw him off of the title shot. But man, when you're that close up, you got to think about yourself. Think about your family because now your actions affect everybody, Armin. You know, but I hope everything works out for you. You know, I like the kid. Like I said, you know, a good dude. He's always been great to me. So, you know, I like the kid. But moving on, in other news, we finally got answers to why Mr. Conor McGregor had to pull out of the fight. But it is what it is. He said it himself. You know, he wants to be as close to 100% as possible. And that foot injury, you know, was kind of taking him off from doing that. It was going to hurt his performance. So he did not want to go in there anymore. And Henry, it made sense. When you're not fighting just to survive, you're not fighting for money, you're not fighting for all these things, you want to put out the best possible performance in the world, then hey, you know, you don't want to go in there hurt. You're not going to go in there hurt. You have the option to be able to do that. And that's why the fight was pushed.
Yeah, of course, man. I think that's smart on his side. No, my foot was a balloon. My foot was a balloon. Like, that's the shit that comes to mind when I'm thinking about this. But I will say this, if Conor's serious about fighting, dude, like, I truly do believe, and I think even the antics of him being at the club, like, he did that shit on purpose, too. And he probably was drinking and having a good time.
But art of war.
Speculation means that that this guy could be potentially fighting at the Sphere. You know, Dana White's talking about making this event the biggest event in combat sports history. Throw in Conor McGregor, but make the Conor McGregor a co-main event fight and allow the championship fight of a guy like Ilia Topuria and Max Holloway actually main event it. I think that makes sense. They talked about it. Am I crazy, Kamaru Usman?
Yeah, you are crazy. You are crazy. Let's say if Muhammad Ali, is not, and I'm not comparing him and Muhammad Ali in any way. Let's say Mike Tyson is not the champion. He's not fighting for the belt, but he's on a card. Are you telling me you're going to make Mike Tyson a co-main event? No, you're not. You're not. And I'm not comparing them. But Conor McGregor has earned that with everything that he's brought to the sport, with everything that he has, the mystique. Conor McGregor has earned the right to be. Because, hey, he's selling the pay-per-views, you know? Conor McGregor, I mean,
back and think about what Dana White said. Go back and think about what Dana White said. Okay, what if they make it the main event? Are you cool with that?
Who, Conor?
Yeah.
100%.
I guarantee that
card's already got a main event.
I guarantee you these guys wouldn't be mad because you know what that brings if you bring in Conor McGregor in there? Come on. Money. Yeah. So I'd be like, if I'm Hollywood, like, hey, Dana, put this guy on the card, make him the main event. Like that's what I'm thinking. It's like, hey, why don't we stick him in there? And then the event becomes the biggest event in combat sports.
I like it. I see where your head's at. But, you know, why not save him? You know, you use it for another. You clean up two pay-per-views back-to-back. So I like it. But, you know, with all that being said, there's still hope that we are going to see the return of Conor McGregor. So Michael Chandler, make sure that you stay on your P's and Q's here. You know, don't let this get away from you. Stay focused and continue to train. And, yeah, Conor McGregor is going to be back in there sooner or later, you know. But, Henry,
the Ryan Garcia.
Your boy.
saga continues. Dude, I just, man, Ryan, like, he's hilarious. Dude, I actually learned to like Ryan a little bit. But, man, he's trolling the shit out of Devin Haney. Apparently, Devin Haney wanted a DAZN to get rid of, you know, all the footage that they have in the fight because it's a no contest. And not just that, but they, you know, Brian Garcia lost $1.2 million to Devin Haney for testing, you know, positive for an EPO. And now, you know, now on top of that, Devin Haney's actually suing him.
I feel like, Henry, we knew this was a chain of events. These were the things that at least I did. I knew these were the things that were going to come out of it. When you go out there and you perform like that and you embarrass a guy like Devin Haney like that, which Devin Haney is a good fighter. I love watching him fight because he puts on a very masterclass every time that he performs. But when you go out there and you embarrass a guy like that in that way, and then it turns out that you might have been taking the substance that you shouldn't have been taking. These were just kind of like the steps that are going to follow. The commission has to go through the investigation, which they did. They found that, yep, this was taken, a banned substance was taken, and maybe it helped performance, it helped enhance your performance in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So then they go next to rule it a no contest. They strike that from the record. So now it's not a loss on Devin Haney's part. It's a no contest. Of course, now Devin Haney's camp has to take the necessary measures to try to rectify the situation, which is, one, DAZN, I want all that footage gone. But guess what, guys? The fight happened. That's already out there. Everyone knows what happens, okay? So even if you take the footage down, who gives a crap? That doesn't do anything, you know? And now the next step is sue him, which, rightfully so, they have every right to try to do, because you could have put my life in danger. You could have taken a substance that could have given you superhuman strength, and you could have hurt me. And now, especially boxing, and especially as many times as he knocked him down in the fight, he was landing some good shots. He hurt him. He really hurt him. And so now, you know, you weren't putting my safety in concern because you weren't competing within the confines of the rules. So yeah, this is what's gonna happen. This is the necessary step for his camp. But for a guy like Devin Haney as a fighter, I'm speaking to him as a fighter, Devin Haney, you knew what happened. He knows what happened. Yes, of course, it makes you feel better that he was caught cheating, per se, allegedly, you know. But you knew what happened as a fighter. You have to be able to get rid of that as a fighter. All this suing and all this stuff that your camp is doing, yeah, they're supposed to do that, rightfully so. But you as a fighter, you have to be able to lock back in and try to have short memory of that so you can continue with your illustrious career that you're having so far. I think you have a bright future. I think you have a lot of things, a lot of good things to do in the sport. But you got to put this away and you got to be able to move on.
Yeah, over here talking about he wants to go to the UFC. You know, Dana White hit him up. He doesn't want that smoke. It's just trolling at its finest, but I mean, these guys are going to fight. I think Devin Haney, I like it. Wait for Ryan Garcia. I mean, people already do it in boxing anyways. You spend it for a year. These boxers love to wait. These fighters, like, they don't like to fight the best. Fight this dude again then. Like, I just don't give a fuck no more, Kamaru. I'm kind of pissed with boxing, dude.
Yeah, but Henry, Ryan Garcia says, I'm headed to the UFC. You putting your hat, you putting your bid in, huh? Cut your promo right here. Cut your promo. Go ahead.
There's my promo right there.
Cut your promo. Tell Ryan Garcia that you want to fight him when he comes to the UFC. Dana White, make the fight. Tell him right here. Tell him why they should pick you.
Ryan Garcia, we talked about it in the past. You know, we've texted each other. We've talked before. If you want to fight the best, the 2020 Henry Cejudo, you can still have him. Let's fight. Let's get it on.
Henry, that wasn't the greatest. That wasn't the great promo to cut for.
Yeah,
for
but
trying
come
to
on,
this
come
fight.
On. This dude, hey. this is gonna fight an O'Malley. He wants to fight somebody that's just gonna strike with them, dude. Like, I that would be horrible for Ryan. I'd hurt Ryan. Like, he wouldn't make it past round one. As much as I would like that, he had actually texted me after I retired.
Sure about that, Henry?
Oh, 100%. I'll leg lock him. He'll be gone. But either way, I want to get on pound for pound, so I can't talk too much shit. Kamar, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I want him on the show. You see what I did there? Guys, y'all see what I did there? Just call me Mark Phillips. Yes, the instigating champion. Just call me Mark Phillips.
I'm going to start calling you Kamara. I'm going to start calling you Kamara Hilwani, dude.
All right, Henry. But, you know, he's suspended. So if you are suspended, you are suspended. And listen, that goes through all commissions. You know, athletic commissions, they all work together. If Nevada suspended you, you're suspended. That means you can't do UFC anyways. So you're going to sit for that time.
Yeah, well, did you see this? Would you see this guy proposing, bro, at the end? Would you ever do that? You want to watch this right here? Look at this, dude. This dude fought in the octagon, and he decided to put a ring on her.
What? Wait, did she say no?
Shit. She denied him.
I can't understand what he was saying, but what did he say?
She said, it's in another language, but it looks like she rejected his ass.
It says MMA fighter, blow that up from front. Yeah, you go. MMA fighter Lucas Bukova proposes to his girlfriend after his loss at Clash of the Stars and gets rejected in front of the stadium.
Yeah, why the fuck would you? Why would you?
What do you mean? Why would you? I mean, Henry, don't make me roast you right now.
I mean, after a loss?
Exactly. Obviously, he didn't plan on losing, you know, but.
You got to pivot. Why would you?
Okay, so that's what you would do. You would pivot.
You would have to. Come on. What are you going to say? Go, let me have it, bro.
All right. So don't say why would you do something like this.
Oh, no, dude. I'm super, super freaking romantic. I'm not mad at that. What I'm mad about is like, dude, like, you must not know your girl for her to reject you, and particularly after a loss. Like, Kamaru, how are you proposing, Kamaru? Like, you got any ideas?
I don't know. You know, I got to think about that. You know, when that time comes, I'm going to think about it and put some thoughts into it, because I think it's a thoughtful time. And of course, I'm going to put some big, big thought into it. But I think this guy was trying to go, this is potentially my biggest moment in a stadium full of people. Hopefully I get the win. I'm going to do it at my biggest moment. But unfortunately, I didn't get the win. Obviously, he didn't look like he got beat up too bad, because, you know, he was still able to have his wits about him to pull a ring out and try to propose. But dang, she was cold-blooded with it. She said, nah. And look how she was a pro with the mic, too. She was talking to the whole crowd. She wasn't even just talking to him. She moving her hands. She's like, yeah, nah. You took that L, player. Nah, we good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's what it is, Kamaru. I mean, I don't know, bro. I'm excited. I'm excited to see your proposal, Max. I know, for those who don't know, Kamaru.
Hold that down. Hey.
I know Kamaru's like,
don't be putting my business in the streets like that. Don't be putting my business all in the streets. Hey.
You know, I know this is super romantic.
Anywho.
Come on.
Anywho. I think all men have to have a little bit of that.
Kamaru's Keith Sweat. All men have to have a little bit. For those who really know Kamaru.
No, I will
never find another lover.
No. And I don't think that's a Keith Sweat song, but no. Anywho, back to what we were talking about. Yes, you know, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. You know, we touched on it. UFC 303. It's going to be a big card, an amazing card. And, of course, Henry Cejudo, you know, the boys got it done. It's going to be a big week in Florida. We doing our thing. You know, every club might just be giving a discount to all Florida Panthers supporters. So, you know, if you're in Florida, come enjoy with us. It's a big week for us. But it's another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are out.